Good morning, everybody. I understand last week you were blessed with a short message. A precedence is being set. All kidding aside, though, I'm so thankful that William was able to step in the pulpit and to preach. And as I said before, it's a testimony that he takes that step of faith to step outside that comfort zone and to preach in a second language, one that he's still learning, and then trusting God to preach through him and to accomplish the work that he did, which I understand did take place. People were blessed by the message that he had. And we're going to continue to work together, he and I, and develop that. So you'll be seeing him more and more in the pulpit. And just pray for him as he gets more and more comfortable and equipped for what God has called him to do. Praise God for that. Had a great vacation. I know most of you think, you know, when I make comments like this, your mind goes somewhere else, but I allowed my mind to be blank. And I just told myself I wasn't going to think, and no schedule, and we just relaxed, and we looked at the pine trees, looked through the pine trees to the little bit of the Lake Tahoe that we could see, and just enjoyed kicking back. So it was a nice time. But I'm glad to be back, and I praise God for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. Father, it's by your design and your purpose that each one of us is here today. Therefore, each one of us has a message that you want us to receive. So I pray that you're opened up every ear and every heart, even spiritual eyes, to see what you would have each one of us to see. That when we walk out of this place today, that we will not have just simply gone to church, but that we'll walk away knowing that we've heard from you. And what a blessing it is to hear from you when we know in our own spirit, in our own heart, that you personally are directing your conversation to us, you're talking to us, you're revealing yourself to us. Those are great blessings, Father. And we thank you for the privilege of being able to have that relationship with you. If there's anyone here today that has never asked Jesus in their heart as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that you would just help them to realize this morning that you love them more than they could ever imagine, and that you want to have a personal relationship with them, and that they would open their heart to you and ask you to come into their heart and receive you as their Savior, that they can know the new life, the new things that you have for them. I pray that you'll preach the message. I pray that you will glorify your name, Father, and I pray that Jesus will be lifted up high, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start a new series of messages called Imagination, and I'm excited about it. Imagination, if you just think of the word imagination, oftentimes we just simply think of creative thinking, right? But I want us to understand that in the context of this series of messages entitled Imagination, it's much more than just creativity. And so the title, part one, the first message of this series of messages is called The Unseen. Boy, the unseen things that God has for us to see are very valuable. And that sounds like a spiritual oxymoron, but we'll understand it, hopefully, as we go in and through this message. So let me ask you, have you ever wondered, isn't there more to life than this? I mean, I've heard it. I've heard people say it. I've thought it. Is there more to life than this? It becomes sometimes a routine, sometimes a standard. And we look at our life, we go, wow, is that it? Is that it? Well, of course, God wants us to realize that there's more to life than what we experience, that he wants us to experience him more and more and more. Or maybe you're going to ask another question. Have you ever had difficulty connecting what you know to be true about God with how you feel or live each day? In other words, have you ever felt like, I understand this about you, God, but I need to know how to apply it to my life, to be integrated into my life, to be part of my life, so that I can grow that much more in you? Having said that, have you ever longed to grow in Christ, but just felt stuck? Ever get there? Just a spiritual stuck in place. How do we get past that being stuck? We need to understand some things as Christians. Some of the things that we need to understand is obviously that we know why we were saved. We were saved from punishment of sin and hell for eternity. That's why Jesus died. He didn't die, obviously, for a minor cause. He died that you and I might have a relationship with him forever. and to save us from the penalty of our sin. So we know that's why Christ died for us, but have we lost sight of why God saved us or what he saved us for? See, we're saved from the penalty of sin. We're saved to have a relationship with him, but we're saved for a purpose. And he has a purpose for each one of us as we follow him. And that's part of being a Christian, is believing in God and including him in every area of our life. So as we include him in every area of our life, we begin to identify how God wants to use us and what purpose he has for us. That helps our life to continue to grow and to develop and to be what God wants it to be as believers in Christ. So we're supposed to be ever changing. We shouldn't be in a place where we feel stuck. But in all honesty, sometimes I think we just get to that place of being stuck in our walk with Christ. We're not seeing the growth. I think God allows that to catch our attention, to where we recognize that. Lord, I'm feeling stuck in my spiritual growth. I'm feeling stuck in this place where I am in my walk with you. And the result of that is, prayerfully, that we say, I don't want to be stuck no more. I want to move forward, and I want to be able to be more and more of what you've called me to be. So being a Christian is not simply knowing what we should or shouldn't do. I think the world in general, or even this generation that we are embracing today as young adults, look at church as the things that we shouldn't do, or the things that we should do. They look at the church more of a church of being legalistic, the do's and the don'ts. But you and I know that the Christian faith is far, 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 far more. It can't even be paralleled with the do's and don'ts, because it's something much greater than that. It's the relationship that each one of us have with Christ and how it can be developed. Being a Christian is being engrafted into Christ, and he engrafted into us. You see the difference? We can go to church. We can go through the rote, if we allow it to become rote. We can hear the word. We can hear the do's and the don'ts. We can have almost a religious perspective of church and miss out on the most important thing, the intimacy of our relationship with God that is real and that grows as we follow him. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, "But God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." God called you and I to be in fellowship with him, to have a relationship with Christ. God called you. Hey, I want you to have fellowship with me. I want you and I to have a relationship that's real, a relationship that's deep, a relationship that's rich, purposeful, meaningful, and productive for my glory. I want that relationship with you, and I want you to have that relationship with me. I don't think there's any greater relationship that we can have on earth than our relationship with Christ. But we have to ask ourselves the question, with all honesty, is that how we feel? Do we honestly feel that the greatest relationship that we have is Jesus? You understand what I'm saying? Out of everybody in our life, which relationship do you value the most? Is it Jesus? And that's what it ought to be. It should be Jesus above everyone else, above everything else. Not because it's what we're told that we should do, but because we love the relationship that we have with Jesus and we want it to grow deeper and richer. And that's what makes it so special. Hey, I know the Lord. You know the Lord. Hey, I talk to the Lord and he talks to me. And hey, you know, God reveals insights to me in his word that I never thought that I could even perceive or understand, that I never knew. And God will continue to do that for us. God saved us so we could participate in that intimate relationship with him. And that's why Christ died on the cross. You know, we think of this point, he died to pay for our sin. He took our punishment for our sin, so we didn't have to pay for our sin in eternity, in hell, spending eternity in hell, right? But the primary objective was that through that forgiveness of sin, we could have that intimate, deep, rich relationship with Christ. And so I've said it before from the pulpit, and you've heard it before, I think, from me, that when Christ was dying on the cross, he died with you and I in perspective. He died knowing who he was dying for. He died for the whole world. He knew who would receive him into their life. We were the hope. Get that. You and I were the hope set in front of Jesus on the cross. The hope meaning promise. You, Lord Jesus, are dying for sin, taking the payment, providing a way of redemption for all those who put their faith in you and have that relationship with you. That was the hope that was set before Jesus. That was the promise. And you and I are the fulfillment of that promise in his heart. We have a relationship with him, which is, we look at ourselves and our side of the coin, but look at Christ and his side of the coin, if you will, for lack of a better phrase. That's what he desired enough to die for, to have a relationship with us. How cool is that? 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." If Jesus didn't raise from the dead and we put our faith in him, we'd be stupid. Bottom line, because it would be foolishness. It'd be in vain. If we only put our faith in the fact that Christ died on the cross and was buried, and he hadn't risen from the grave, we would be expending our lives and our focus on something that was in vain. But Christ did raise from the dead. And so he is alive. And we know that because we know him, because he's in our heart. If the presence of Jesus, now get this statement, if the presence of Jesus is what makes heaven, heaven, and if union with Christ means Christ dwelling in you now, then, fill in him here, coming up, union with Christ means the reality of knowing God, living a life of fellowship with him. What makes heaven heaven? You know, I was thinking about this. I'm going, okay, well, heaven is heaven because heaven is where heaven is, and that's heaven. I hope you're following me. But that's not what makes heaven heaven for us. It's not the place. It's the person. So Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he was the first one that rose from the dead and went to the right hand of the Father and lives in heaven. And we're the first fruit of many, many believers. People followed after Christ, right? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. They went to be with the Lord. If you and I went to heaven and Jesus wasn't there, heaven wouldn't be heaven. But Jesus is there. Now, since Jesus is there in heaven, but we've received him in our heart, a part of heaven lives inside of us too. Because heaven is not of this world. Heaven is not the philosophy, the principles, the directives, the priorities of this world. Heaven is beyond that and separate from that. And that's what we learn in our relationship with Christ, is that the values and the focus and the priorities of life begin to shift into something far greater than what we can ever obtain in this life, in this world. In fact, when we think about heaven, what does your mind think of when you think of heaven? Because you've never seen it. In fact, when you think about Jesus, what does he look like in your mind? Or do you have a picture of him? Or is it just a sense of the reality that you know his presence? And yet one day, we're going to see Jesus face to face in heaven. And I think we're going to be shocked about how common he looks. The scripture says he was very common. He wasn't like David, who towered above the crowd and was a handsome dude. It was Jesus. He just blended in like nobody special in his looks. I think we're going to be surprised about how Jesus looks, but we're not going to be surprised about the heart of Jesus and his love for us. How great is that? And so life with Christ doesn't begin when we die. Okay, life with Christ doesn't begin when we die. We know that. When we receive Christ as our Savior, we receive Christ into our life, and we have a life with him. Let me put it another way. Eternal life does not begin when you die. It took me a few years as a Christian to realize that. Your eternal life and my eternal life started at the moment that we asked Jesus into our heart. We'll never die. We'll always live with Christ. You say, well, Pastor, that's kind of stupid. People die, they're buried, their bodies are, yeah. But we'll always have life in Christ. That's our life. That's a different dynamic, isn't it? It's a different paradigm. It's almost like a different dimension. That as we walk through this world, we have a realization that we have a different focus, a different reality in our life that's not tangible, but that is powerful and wonderful and rich and full of love, and that's Jesus living in each of our hearts. 1 Peter, again, how I had said, it said, for Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, shows God's love for everybody, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. God wants you and I to be made alive in him. We're made alive, we're given eternal life, but he wants us to live that life with him that's different than the way of the world, which takes part of our imagination. Again, don't let the word imagination trip you up as being something fabricated or something that's not real. But imagination as being something that you, let's just wait. We'll look at the Webster's definition here in a few moments. In John 17:3, it says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. How many of you know Jesus? Amen. Right? You've never seen him before? Nope. What does Scripture say? Blessed are those who believe without seeing. Right? Is that a different dynamic? A different dimension, if you will? A different reality, if you will? Is that something different from the way of the world? That you can say, hey, I know Jesus personally, but I can't see him? Jesus lives in my heart, but I can't find him physically inside my body? And yet, spiritually, we have the absolute assurance of reality that Jesus is real and alive in our heart, his Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we truly are the children of God. And so we experience Christ. Christ is in heaven, but Christ is in our heart. And in a sense, as being living temples of God, we're experiencing a part of heaven on earth because we're experiencing the things of God that are real, spiritually true, scripturally sound, absolute, confident things that we can rely on and trust on that the world can't see, but you and I do. And so we can praise God for that. Absolutely. In fact, when we're united with Christ, which we are, when we're saved by faith in Christ, which unites us with him, right? We're a citizen of heaven. We're a citizen of heaven right now. Now, we might say, well, that's simply our name written on the register that we are citizens of heaven. But I think, honestly, in our walk with Christ, that there's a spiritual dynamic there that says, the more I realize that I'm a citizen of heaven, the more I realize I'm not a citizen of this world. Even though I physically live here, the things of this world don't become more important to me. They become less important. And the things of God become more real and more important and more of a priority than anything else this world can present. And so we're citizens of heaven right now on earth. Our eternal life began when we received Christ as our Savior. But look at Philippians 3:20. It says, our citizenship, however, is in heaven, and it is from there that we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. One day, Jesus is going to come back and get us. Scripture says he's going to snatch the church out of the world. The church is not the building. The church is the people who put their faith in Christ, who have Christ in their heart, and we're all united in the body of Christ. One day, he's going to snatch us out of this world because this is not our residence. This is the world, and our residence, our citizenship is in heaven. And again, you're saying, well, Pastor, you're kind of talking double tongue here. Reality is, this is earth. I do live here. I am physical. These are things that are reality in my life. But the more we walk with Jesus, the more we realize that our heart longs to be there, that the things of God are more real and relevant to my life that I don't have tangibly, more so than anything, again, that the world can offer. And so, Ephesians 1:3 tells us that we have every spiritual blessing. How many of you like to get blessed? I'll take all the blessings I can get. Right? But there's spiritual blessings. I mean, I can be blessed years ago, and I've kind of burned it out here, but you know, 18 years or in our 18th year here, I've kind of burned out the thought of getting my metallic blue-green Corvette. It's just not there anymore. And the reason is, well, money, but two, my back can't handle the low slope. Can't get in and out of the car very easy anymore. But see, that's something that's not important to me. What's important to me is my walk and my relationship with Jesus. We have blessings in this world that we can have, but they're not the spiritual blessings that we can have in Christ that are far greater. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Every spiritual blessing, everything that God wants to give us, that's good. All those spiritual blessings. Name one spiritual blessing he's given you. Salvation. What's another spiritual blessing? A relationship with Christ. What's another spiritual blessing? I can store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't destroy and robbers don't come in and break in and steal. What's another spiritual blessing? I can lay a foundation that by my in heaven that where as I follow Christ and commit to Christ, it establishes who I am and how God is going to use me in eternity and use you in eternity. There are things, there are spiritual blessings in the fact that we have a relationship with Christ that's real, where the scripture says that his very spirit confirms with our spirit that we're the children of God. And again, the difference between the spirit and the soul, the body is obvious. The soul is the mind, will, and emotions of who we are. The spirit is that down deep gut feeling that says, I am here. My spirit with God's spirit confirming. These are spiritual blessings, but there's so much more. Spiritual blessings, eternal blessings are the best blessings. And he says, I have all spiritual blessings for each one of you. All spiritual blessings for you. But we have to discover those spiritual blessings as well. And so, as every spiritual blessing, every eternal blessing, and the best blessing comes from God, the Father in heaven, because of our union with Christ, our fellowship with Christ, because of our being in Christ and Christ in us. We participate in heavenly realities and enjoy heaven's blessings even while we are here on earth today. Let's go back to William. I like poking at him. But he took a step of faith to stand in the pulpit and preach in English. Let me ask you a question. Do you think he depended upon God? Yes. Yeah. Now, do you think that he saw God carry him? I bet. Do you think he was blessed because he realized that God's power was working in and through him in a way that he didn't think was ever going to be possible? And God accomplished the work that he wanted to do through him? Is that a spiritual blessing? Is it tangible? No. But our faith in Christ and the spiritual work that he does in and through us produces those things that brings glory to God. So our faith takes imagination in a sense that not just a creative fabrication, but to be able to say, like William, to get up and go, okay, God, you know who I am. You know that I really can't do this. You know that I'm scared out of my wits. You know, these are the reasons why I know that I could trip myself up in this message. I got to keep my eyes focused on you. I got to depend upon you. I've got to rely on you. And I got to watch you work in and through me to present the message that you have. That's the image. That's the imagination. That's the step of faith that he's saying, in a way, he's saying, spiritually, God, I am trusting in you to do your work through me. He's focused on that. And so that's how we're going to look at this word imagination in this series of messages. Somebody needs to turn those lights off. So, I mean, because you don't want me to dance. Believe me. Okay, because I only know the bump from the 70s. Okay, so our faith takes imagination, not fabrication. And I want to define that word with you. So over time, right, imagination, we often think of love watching our grandchildren and children build sandcastles at the beach or playing tea or playing, growing up, army. all those types of things, having fun, that imagination, right? But look at the definition of the word imagination according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It says, the act or power of forming a mental image of something not present to the senses or never before wholly perceived in reality. You might say, well, that's just a kid's great imagination and creativity. But apply that spiritually. The act or power of forming a mental image. I know you, Jesus, but I haven't seen you. The act or power, right? Of something not present to the senses. I'm not aware of you physically, right? Visually, even in your own sense or whatever those senses are, hearing, whatever that is. Not present in the senses or never wholly perceived in reality. We see Christ in part. We see the truth of his promises in part. We do not see the reality of it. I know when I die and I'm going to heaven because Jesus has confirmed that he's real and lives in my heart and I know him. I know that I'm going to heaven just like you as a believer in Christ because you have the promise of Jesus in his word. But we know this and we look forward to that citizenship in heaven, but we've never seen it before. Imagination. Don was introducing a song saying, we're going to walk on streets of gold. Imagination. But not a fabrication, but a reality. We're going to have mansions, and I thought, great, no maintenance either. Because nothing's going to crumble. No maintenance. But we think about that, and you think about, what's my mansion going to look like? Sometimes I think that way. I like to think that when it's my mansion time that I open up the door and I see this fantastic jungle to as an adventure. Weird thoughts like that sometimes. Because I don't want a marble floor and flowers on a stand. I don't know what the mansion is, but my imagination is there based upon the promise that God has given me. And it doesn't lessen the reality of the fact that God has gone to prepare each one of us a mansion to live in. And so our distinct God-given human capacity to image or imagine anything and everything that is not immediately visible to our eyes. God has given us the ability to identify him, though we don't see him. He's given us the ability to understand his counsel and his direction, though we're not sitting in front of him. He's given us the ability to have faith that we know where we're going when we die. He's given us the ability to know that there's an eternity forward that he has promised us that's real and tangible. He's given us so many spiritual blessings that are there that we believe in that we have not seen, we have not touched, we have not sensed in the reality of what they are. But we know they're true. And these are things that God wants us to understand that's different from the way of the world. God has given us this understanding, and it's distinctly separate from the world because of our relationship with Jesus. We can gain these spiritual insights. So imagination is not strictly something kids use to play. Whether we realize it or not, we use our imagination all day long. Give you an example. Ike lost his keys this morning, let's say. I bet in his mind, like we would do ourselves, where did I put those keys? Let's backstep it. Let's see where we went. Where might have I lost my keys? Right? That's imagination in that regard. In that regard. Let's go scientifically. Isaac Newton, what did he prove? Gravity, right? The law of gravity. What imagination did he use that sparked him to investigate the reality of gravity? The apple falling from the tree. I know that apple fell, but why? And so he maintained that image in his mind and discovered a law of physics that was real. You and I can see and understand things that God gives us that one day, even though we already know it's real now, one day we're going to see the absolute reality of it. how praiseworthy is that? Jesus and his disciples used our imagination to teach us spiritual truth. You go through the scriptures, he's always using life experiences, a form of imagination. Imagine you, life is like a road that's full of potholes and rocks, or maybe there's a mountain in front of you that you can't get through, but God will make the mountain become a plain. God uses imagination or image to teach us insights about spiritual truth, helping us to know him and how to live a life that he wants us to live that is in this world but not a part of this world. Scripture tells us in 1 Timothy 6:16, it says, he alone has immortality and lives in light that no one can come near. No human being has ever seen or is able to see him. Honor and eternal power belong to him. Amen. None of us have seen God in the fullness of his glory. One day we will. We can't now because we have that sinful nature. We can't now because we are not made perfect in Christ yet, being what he wants us to be, the ultimate. And even that's a creative image in our mind spiritually. That God is shaping us like that pot into something that he wants us to be uniquely for him. And so God begins to reveal these spiritual truths to us. He gives us spiritual blessings of knowing him. And there's that certain image process or imaging process that's a God-given capacity to help us to identify, one, our relationship with Christ, two, our experience with him. God gives us that ability because of Jesus in our heart, that we can have a relationship and experience Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, someone that doesn't know Christ will look at that and say, that's a bunch of hogwash. That's an oxymoron. That's something that makes absolutely no sense, none whatsoever. But you and I have already said, I believe in the risen Savior that I've never seen. I believe in heaven that I've never seen. I believe in the promises of Jesus that I've never seen yet fulfilled. So many of them. While we do not look at the things which are seen, this world, but at the things which are not seen, the promises of God, a spiritual dimension that's separate from the ways of the world, for the things which are seen are temporary, this is all going to go away, but the things that are eternal, right, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we learn in our walk with God to shift, in that paradigm shift, from the reality of the things that the world says is important to the absolute reality of those things that are important in Christ that will last for eternity. One being our relationship with Jesus. Fixing our eyes on what is unseen is going to require what? Some imagination. Walking on streets of gold. Pure gold. It's kind of like walking on glass gold that you can see through. Interesting. So we received a new life to live when we receive Christ as our Savior. The dynamic of our life begins to shift from our focus on the world and what we want to Jesus and what he wants, to where Satan will say what God wants will rob you. But truth is, what God wants will bless you. We have that reality based upon the promise of God's word. So during these messages, we're going to look at some of the things that Jesus and his disciples gave us to help us understand how to live our new life in Christ to the fullest. And the last fill in here is we're going to activate our imaginations as defined by Webster's, to learn what our union with Christ truly means. Our imaginations are going to take us to the unseen. The unseen things that God will reveal to us to help us grow that much more in our relationship with him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promises that are secure and unshakable. I thank you, Father, for who you are and that you love us unconditionally. Doesn't matter where we've been, your love stands true for each one of us. You never reject us. You never leave us. You never forsake us because you love us. That's your promise. And so we praise you for that. So help us, each one of us, to have a desire, Father, not simply just to know you more, although that's primary, but to see you more that's spiritual in a way that will change our lives to bring you honor and glory and praise. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.